Hello and welcome to Win Stupid Prizes, the show where we ask the questions that nobody thought were worth asking. I'm Eddie and I'm joined today by three people who made Constitution their dump stat. And they are AJ,
star of my own biopic.
Alex.
I just rolled a one on my Constitution. I can't think of anything funny to say.
You roll a Constitution to think of funny things.
I don't know. I don't play D&D.
This explains a lot, actually.
And our judge and question master this week is Bear.
Hi, I'm Bear. I've got a con of 16, so what is that?
That's your dump stat. You're doing well, dude. What have you got for us this week, my man?
Okay, you know I love movies. I spend literally all of my time watching movies. But the problem I'm finding as I watch more and more movies is that they suck.
You're not wrong.
So I've come to you guys knowing that you are much better than most people, which is why you're friends with me.
Thank you.
And therefore, you'd be much better in movies, I assume. So I want to know, what kind of movies do you think you'd be able to substitute yourself in for? You know, replace the main character, do it your way, and give me a much better viewing experience.
Okay.
So you're basically just asking us for fan fiction. So I'd like to present my first answer straight away, and that's Wreck-It Ralph. Now, you think Wreck-It Ralph, you're thinking, like, adventures in video games. No. We want a Wreck-It Ralph, Fix-It Felix, Slow Burn, Enemies to Lovers, Hurt Comfort fanfiction.
Okay, then.
And then instead of the video game worlds that we have in Wreck-It Ralph, we just have these AUs.
TM.
You're right. You know, the thing I think that was really bad about Wreck-It Ralph was the premise.
Yes, exactly.
You're turning Wreck-It Ralph into a romance movie.
Into a fanfic movie.
Let's have Wreck-It Ralph in a coffee shop. He's a low-wage employee. Fix-It Felix is a corporate engineer. Wreck-It Ralph's always breaking the coffee shop. Fix-It Felix is always coming in, fixing it. They can't stand each other at the start. Eventually, they have like an angry makeout session at the countertop after work.
Yes!
We can have a high school AU. Wreck-It Ralph's a PE teacher, always breaking equipment. Felix has to fix it. Eventually, they're making out on the gym equipment.
I see where this is going.
There's another world.
I just want to jump in and check something.
Yeah.
When I asked for you to substitute a character with yourself, you took that as rewrite the movie.
Yep.
Just have a different movie with characters from Wreck-It Ralph.
Now, what's your opinion on the rom-com coffee shop, or if you prefer, love in a coffee shop? Because if you liked them, I think Alex is onto something.
Yeah, but this one you can be or make out with Felix or Ralph.
So wait, you're making a dating game?
A dating film.
Both coffee shop and love in a coffee shop, the main male lead is called Ben.
Wow.
Just to make things less confusing.
Alex could be a Ben, right?
Yeah, I mean, do you not want to make out with someone called Benjamin Pleasure? Who is playing Ben.
So are you replacing Ralph?
I mean, I could replace Ralph or Felix. It depends, like, what people are in the mood for.
I mean, Ralph is definitely the main character.
I mean, he is definitely the protagonist in the Vanellope von Swartz AU, but we're not going to go there. She could be, like, a customer character or something.
I really like one of the points you've made, which is basically, instead of a video game world, you have a fan fiction version of a video game world that they keep going to. So everything's a little bit off. All of the characters that they meet who are like corporate tie-ins, they go and meet Sonic and Sonic's like, hey guys, I'm really horny.
Bear, I'm not sure that your version of cinema is something that we should be aspiring to, but I hear there's a prize.
And yet, if I was judging, horny Sonic might win.
Originality is something that I think is really lacking in Hollywood, and so seeing something completely off the rails would at least be interesting.
There's nothing original about, hi, I'm Sonic, I'm horny. Have you been on the internet?
There's something originable.
Original.
Something original about this.
Oh, that is original AF.
There's something original about Hollywood making Sonic say that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Like, imagine terrible fan fiction made with a really high budget.
This episode will come out before Sonic the Hedgehog 2 comes out, so there's a chance that this film is already being made.
Yeah. I mean, Knuckles definitely fuckles.
Spoilers for Sonic.
Hi, I'm Knuckles, and I'm horny to punch.
You gotta do Idris Elba's sexy voice, which he said he wasn't gonna do. But
okay, what if it was a high-budget fanfiction where the creators had a sense of irony?
Go on. Go on, judge.
Are you saying Ready Player One, but instead of them taking the source as an earnest thing, they just mocked the shit out of Ready Player One because it's a bad thing?
I love adaptations.
Yeah, or if you took 50 Shades, realised all of the problems and how badly written it was, and, like, used that as part of your inspiration, you could have a really funny movie.
I'm trying to think if there is a movie that is kind of comedy, but, like, parody in that sort of way.
Pride and Prejudice and the Zombies.
Is that a film?
Yes.
Oh my word.
It's quite well rated.
Mm.
So, you haven't offered to be part of Wreck-It Ralph.
I thought Alex was going to be the self-insert protagonist throughout.
Yeah.
You would lose the main appeal of Wreck-It Ralph in his big meaty hands.
I don't think we would.
I do think it would be funny to see a remake of Wreck-It Ralph where he's just a normal proportioned person.
I don't think it would improve the film.
If you just did a shot-for-shot remake with Alex in the place, not even a shot-for-shot remake, you just edit Alex over Wreck-It Ralph.
Just really poorly green-screened over the top. It's not even like, Alex isn't even animated, it's just a still of Alex standing slightly awkwardly the whole time.
It's just Alex's face in the middle of Ralph's torso.
Oh.
I don't like this. I would like to withdraw my answer.
I think you'll find Hollywood executives running for the hills at this pitch.
Not if we told them it would make money.
Not if we could prove to them it would make money.
Yeah, Hollywood executives are being told that things can make money all day. Yeah. That's basically their whole MO.
Here's the thing, like, I'm the guy who watches all of the movies all the time, right?
That is true, this is true.
So if I tell them, they'll be like, oh yeah, we should do that.
Earlier you said you wanted to see something that films haven't done before.
Yeah.
And I think I can provide that in a way that will be very unsatisfying.
Oh, good.
Okay, I do love being unsatisfied.
That's why we're here.
It's quite a popular theory that in Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones effectively doesn't do anything because the Nazis still get the Ark of the Covenant, still stake it to the place that they want to do. He kills some Nazis on the way, good for him. But that's kind of all he really achieves. The overall plot would happen essentially the same without him. So if I was Indiana Jones, job's done, I'd just go home.
Pretty good.
It would be a very short biopic of the Nazis finding the Ark of the Covenant and all dying.
Fascinating.
Is the movie then about what you're doing at home? Is it watching you make a cup of tea, etc., etc., and then we cut back to the Nazis at the end?
Yeah, it's that intercut with the Nazis.
Yeah, the post-credit stinger is just the Nazis dying.
I think it would be quite a short film, 20-minute film, and like the first 10 minutes or so would be me finding out about the Ark of the Covenant, figuring it out sort of thing, the puzzle and stuff, and going like, oh, if they open it, they die. Great.
Yeah.
And that's like interspersed with the Nazis like finding it and stuff. And so I find out that they're all going to die just in time for them to actually open up and all die.
Yeah.
And then the post-credit stinger is me having a cup of tea.
Yeah. Okay.
I think this makes it a much more effective morality tale.
Yeah.
If what you want to see is a short film of Nazis dying, I've got you covered.
That sounds pretty good.
I might be really interested if the movie was then just like, I don't know, either a designer or a documentary, just about all of the stuff that would have happened to you if you'd gone into the temple.
Okay.
Like, just a creative cutaway for like an hour of like, oh, here's how we made this trap, and oh, the rolling boulder, that would have been iconic, and then just none of it's happening, but it's just looking around a static temple and talking about the design.
There is a different version of the film as well, where I don't figure out how the Ark of the Covenant works. I do still go to try to stop the Nazis, but I don't resist the temptation to, like, have a peek or to open the Ark at some point. So I just get got at some point, and then the rest of the film continues as it would.
Just melted Eddie.
Indiana Jones and the...
Indiana Jones and the incompetent Eddie.
Indiana Jones's day job is that he's a lecturer and an academic.
0 for 2 ain't bad.
So you've probably made like the lives of his master's or PhD students much easier by coming back and like lecturing about how this temple might have been constructed and what you should do on archaeology trips instead of doing exactly the opposite of what you should do on archaeology trips.
Yeah, that's the version that I want to see. It's you doing a bit of research at the beginning, and then the rest of the movie is you giving a literal lecture for an hour.
Yes.
About what you've learned and what you've deduced about this temple, and then it cuts to the Nazis all dying, and that's the end of the movie.
It's just a recording of the lecture.
Yeah, so you're standing there saying, this is what not to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there they are doing it.
Yeah.
You get like a little break at half time in some lectures. There's even a 5-minute break where I'm like, all right, everyone can go to the loo. And it just fully plays out the break where everyone's just milling around making noise.
If we can have an intermission in the Holy Grail, we can have one here.
In fact, we could make Monty Python Holy Grail significantly better by just having the killer rabbit kill everyone so they don't run out of budget and they don't have to do the last bit where they didn't have any budget and they had to end the film early. They just end the film with them all dying.
I really enjoyed that bit. But then I also enjoy people being killed by killer rabbits.
Yeah.
Bear, what do you think the audience is going to have to say about that?
I mean, are we substituting someone in for the movie? Because otherwise I don't care.
For the killer rabbit, the real protagonist of the film.
We come in and just like hop around and bite people and they're like, this isn't a very good rabbit, but like, I guess I gotta play along.
I do often say that movies and shows don't really deliver on their promise of consequences. And so having everyone die to the killer rabbit would be a payoff there.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And then we go into an hour-long documentary on the life of the killer rabbit. What I'm saying here is I don't think enough Hollywood films are documentary-based or fictional non-fiction. I think there's a real gap in the market to just go and sit down for 2 hours and watch someone talk about lore with a high budget so that it can be actually like animated scenes instead of just a slideshow.
Okay, I mean, I feel like the closest you get to that are, like, the Blue Planet stuff that David Attenborough and the BBC do.
I was thinking of Avatar.
Avatar, I think they've done the opposite there. They've, like, been like, have all the high-budget CG scenes, and they're like, great, let's make an action film. Like, oh, we wanted a document... all right, James Cameron, you do what you gotta do.
Yeah, they write the lore and then use it as a background for an action film.
Yeah.
Would subbing us into Avatar be any good? Instead of being giant blue creatures, it's just us.
No, you get to be Jake, whatever the guy's name is,
yeah.
And you get put into the Avatar creature, and I think we do a better job because he's... I didn't find him compelling as a character. I found him kind of whiny.
No, I mean, he falls in love in like 2 seconds.
I know!
With someone that he's not even like remotely the same species as.
Yeah. Also, like, the whole, oh, I never told you that I work for this big company that wants to destroy your natural resources. Ha 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 ha.
Red flag right there.
Yeah.
Like, possibly deal with that little plot point first.
I think the film as well, once I was told that we were here for the unobtainium, I would leave, and then it would turn into the hour-long documentary.
About, like, the evils of unobtainium mining in space, and David Attenborough would narrate it.
Just get David Attenborough to narrate the species on the planet, Blue Earth style, but for whatever, Pandora, that's the name of the planet.
Yeah, it would be great.
Mm.
Speaking of CG and animation and that sort of thing, one of the ideas I did have was the Matrix trilogy.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
You mean that entirely real-time human actors, no CG...
documentary.
Yeah, the Matrix, that famous documentary that's set in the future. But anyway, yeah, I think if I replaced Neo, first of all, learn a lot more than Kung Fu, learn all the martial arts, learn about the computers and stuff.
Learn French while you're at it.
French, yeah, may as well, right?
Just get every module in your head.
Mm. Just download all of the information, because I think brains are probably larger than computers most of the time.
They're fine. They can be saturated with information like that, no problem at all.
Brains are larger than computers. Very silly thing to say.
This is fine.
Brains are larger than computers. So here's the thing, though. I think if you overlearned traditional computer programming and hacking, you might actually lose track of your The One powers. Like, the point of being
is
the
that
one...
what happened to you?
Yes. I'm now stuck in the Matrix.
Hey, welcome.
This explains so much.
No, I'm actually just logged in. Anyway, take my visor off and disappear.
Oh, I guess it's just a 3-person podcast now. They just cease to exist.
But the point of being the one is that you have this intuitive control of the underlying code of the Matrix, right? You can do things that aren't allowed by the simulation.
Yes.
Because you've basically accidentally hacked in through your brain.
There's also a chance, though, that if you learn enough about the programming, you could unwrite some of the programming and give more of your freedom fighters access to those powers.
Yeah.
That's absolutely how programming works.
I mean, to be fair, like in video games, when you're looking for exploits, yeah, if you understand more about the underlying code, you understand a bit more about how to search for exploits and then abuse them.
I mean, the other way that I would improve the trilogy would be by not using my The One powers in the real world.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because that was a choice.
One of the things that really destroys a movie for me is internal inconsistency. I don't mind when they set up rules that don't make sense, but I like when they follow the rules that they set up.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You've got to stick to any rules you set.
How do you feel about Inception?
Inception was fine.
What if the Matrix was an infinite recursion of matrices?
I mean, there is an argument that that is the case.
Yeah.
There is also an argument in the films that that is the case, I think, yeah. Which makes the point nicely.
Yes.
I would say that it's definitely not an infinite recursion.
But it's a recursion, and if it's a recursion, it could be infinite. Could be matrices all the way down, a new series.
I think if you're writing it where the top level has the rules of physics as we understand them.
Obviously, I wouldn't do that. I'm not a fan, personally.
But it could be a Matrix Ouroboros, where the bottom level Matrix is actually the Matrix for Matrix Zero.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm pretty sure it couldn't be.
I don't know enough maths to make this work.
It doesn't.
It doesn't, though.
When you said it could be, I don't think it could be.
But what is cinema if not the willful suspension of, you know, logic?
Exactly.
I've got something a bit more based in the real world if you're open to documentary-style things.
From our conversation so far, it seems like I am. It would be a little inconsistent with the premise if I were to say absolutely not. But I do like anti-comedy, and therefore no. Let's move on.
Look, don't spoil the twist ending. The twist ends episode where you go, all right, and I know what I said about documentaries, hate them. Actually, the winner is the most bullshit.
One thing I don't think any of us know anything about.
Hey.
What a good lead-in for us to have a good conversation. Just like, here's something that none of us can talk about.
And therefore you can't prove me wrong.
Hey, I didn't say you wouldn't have opinions. I just said you didn't know anything about it. All right. I've met you guys.
What?
None of you are any good at dancing. I've said it.
Hey, I take umbrage to that.
Like, no one's disputing that you can.
I'm not either, but I think that makes me a really good insert for the film Dirty Dancing.
You know, I'm going to come out and say that is the one film I've not seen.
Really?
Wow, you found it.
Well, now you won't have to. So it's set in 60s American summer camp, which is a pretty weird environment that I don't think any of us know much about.
Nope.
And we certainly don't know anything about Latin dancing? I don't know what kind of dancing it is. That's how little I know. But the point is, I wouldn't be seduced by Patrick Swayze pulling some moves. I could just shoot a documentary about life in the 1960s at summer camp. I'd give them advice on all of their spoilerish sexual health problems, and everyone would have a good time.
There is some problematic stuff in the setup of this film.
Yeah.
And the execution.
Okay, someone tell me a little bit about Dirty Dancing. What are they doing? Are they just going to a dance camp?
No, it's not a dance camp at all.
Okay, so the setup I've just read is a summer vacation spot for rich families.
Okay.
And there are some Ivy League students who are apparently waiters. Don't understand how it works. Those Ivy League students are told to romance all of the daughters, no matter how unattractive, is what it says on Wikipedia.
Is this like the parents doing that?
No.
Who's putting them up to this?
I think the owner, he's kind of scummy, and he has a son who is kind of scummier.
Okay.
Yes, the owner of the resort is the person setting up the students to do that, and it seems like that is a known thing amongst the parents, but not the daughters.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so it's like, hey, here's a summer camp where you can go and have a whirlwind romance so that you have a great time.
But with your family.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. So it's a safe good time, right? But the issue is Baby, which is the name of the main character.
The nickname.
Oh, I do know that nobody puts Baby in the corner.
Right.
Well, you'll love the rest of the film. There are no corners. All circles, baby.
First rule of dancing, no corners.
Oh, so it's not that nobody could put Baby in the corner, it's that Baby has constructed the environment so that no one can.
It is physically impossible to put Baby in the corner.
I'm glad it's internally consistent.
That's the plot of the film, right?
Okay, so it's a contest where you win if you can get Baby into a corner, but you can't get Baby into a corner, so no one ever wins.
It's a documentary, yes.
I mean, there is money involved. Apparently there is Baby taking money from her dad to pay for someone else's... Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It goes places.
Oh, no. I saw there was a pregnancy involved, and I assume it was like, oh, they don't want to get married, so let me give them some money. Let me steal money to give it
to
them. That's... No, they get rid of the baby.
This is a massively popular film, and I think just removing Baby from the equation and replacing her with me, who would take exactly none of this shit, would be a great move and make it more enjoyable.
Yeah, for me... Absolutely. Possibly not for the audience of the film who might be along for that ride, but maybe they shouldn't be along for that ride. not judging you for your media consumption, but what?
Mm.
What I've learned, which I didn't know before, is that Dirty Dancing is not a film about winning a dance contest.
There is a dirty dancing party involved with it, which seems like where a lot of information happens, but it seems like it's more of a coincidence of the plot than actually relevant to it.
It's like a 5-minute scene. Like, every clip you've seen from it is either from that or from the final dance that they do at the end. Because they've been practicing in secret because she has to replace the dancer who has to go and have an abortion, so she has to go dancing with Patrick Swayze, and they bang, and it's bad all round.
I mean, it seems like she's got a thing for Patrick Swayze from much of before then.
Yeah, and the denouement is like this dance scene where they perform and she does the dance and everyone's like, wow, you can dance. That makes this totally okay.
I don't think this is okay.
The end. And everything anyone knows about that film who hasn't seen it is those two scenes where people are literally dancing. But there's a disappointing lack of actual dancing.
Yeah, there's too much dirty and too little dancing.
Yes.
The last paragraph of the Wikipedia plot is essentially like, yes, they have a dance, it goes really well, and everyone just goes, ah, oh, well done, we'll forget about all the stuff.
Mm. If that was how the universe worked, then the pregnant dancer would have been able to dance her way out of her problems.
I do think that more problems should be solved with dance.
Yes.
I think you're right in that being in this film would make it a lot less problematic. Well, I don't know if it would, because a lot of actions you don't have control over. Like, Baby seems like she's trying to fix a lot of stuff and also has the Patrick Swayze thing going on, but that's not that big a deal compared to the rest of the problems.
Yeah,
she kind of just wants to fix everything, and I do relate to that.
Yeah.
How old is Baby?
Baby is 18, while Johnny is 24, Johnny being Patrick Swayze.
Mm.
For legal reasons.
That's quite an age gap.
In real life, they were 26 and 34, so a slightly larger gap, but slightly less problematic at that age.
Yeah, you do a lot of growing up between 18 and 24, let me tell you.
You're not allowed to replace Baby, I'm afraid, because the Rotten Tomatoes rating for this film is 69%.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And we cannot take that risk.
It's already perfect.
So the main thing I want to know, you're still planning on dancing.
Not if I can get away with it.
No, you're dancing. He doesn't have to be good.
Oh, no.
But you're dancing.
The film's just called Dirty now, isn't it?
Dirty. I mean, if we just want dancing, we've basically just gone to Yuri on Ice, which is ice skating, but ice skating is dancing.
Yeah, I can't ice skate either, so it's perfect.
It's okay, because Dirty Dancing is mostly not about dancing.
Yes.
But you do have to have secretly been practicing and then be very good at the end.
Oh yeah, apparently they've been practicing all summer. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
There's a training montage.
Here's the other thing. If you were Baby, would you be put in a corner?
Baby puts herself in the corner, damn it.
Let's turn it into a boxing match. You get tricked into it because you're like, it's a ring, it's fine, there's no corners in a ring. Then you get there and like, in the red corner, Baby,
oh.
And that's it, you break down. That's the climax of the film, you lose.
That's fantastic, I love it.
This movie's part of a trilogy, right? It's Dirty Dancing, Baby Driver, and Boss Baby.
I thought you were going to say Million Dollar Baby, because that's about boxing.
How old is the dude in Baby Driver?
I'm going to admit, Baby Driver is the one film I haven't seen.
Me neither.
Okay, the titular Baby Driver does not have an age in the film, or is not specified.
Well, it's a baby, Eddie.
Isn't he called Baby because he's got a young face?
I just thought he was a baby driver. That's the entire premise.
You legitimately thought Baby Driver was part of the sequence of Boss Baby.
Look, if people have made films about literal boss babies, then why not?
You're right, no, sorry. Dirty Dancing isn't part of that trilogy. It's Baby Driver, Boss Baby, and Boss Baby 2.
You forget the prequel, The Babysitter's Club.
Oh no.
It's funny if you do them in the order Dirty Dancing, then Baby Driver, then Boss Baby, because the age of the titular baby fluctuates. Goes back down for Boss Baby.
It's a whole career path.
The known career path, dancer, driver, boss.
Look, the character, okay, in Dirty Dancing, they're just sort of finding their place in the world, they're dancing, they're meeting people. They come in with a few dirty characters, and due to that, they start a life of crime, being the getaway driver for a series of other crime activities.
Is that what Boss Baby is about?
Then after doing that crime and, you know, running in with the law, they decide to go straight, legitimize their image, and become a crime boss.
Yes.
I see no problems with this.
It seems like Baby Driver might be someone that you could actually replace in a film, though. They're just a good driver.
Yeah, I'm not.
They're a good driver, they're compassionate, apparently, and they do crimes, but mostly on directions of other people.
Well, one out of three isn't bad.
I do like the premise of, like, hey, what we should be doing is finding a movie purely about someone who has a good set of skills that we don't, and then replacing them.
Speaking of which...
A particular set of skills, you could say.
Like Top Gun, and you've never flown a plane.
Top Gun isn't about guns.
No. It's about tops.
Oh, it's about fashion. That explains it.
Top Gun is a high street retail chain.
Yeah, you heard the Top Shot got bought recently. Well, they've still got their Top Gun chain.
It's only in America.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. That's how they got the idea for the film name. They were just walking down Walmart, and they were like, oh, this is the tops and guns aisle.
Gender-neutral dressing, yo.
Yo.
Hello, it's Editing Eddie here again, with another one of these ad-roll not-ad-rolls. If you are interested in sponsoring the episode, you can get in touch with us via social media. That's where we check the most often, and we can take it from there. Okay, now onto the plugs. Firstly, as always, if you enjoy this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend or two. We're still pretty new to this, and every listen really does count. We post these episodes to our website, hexagorgon.com, to most major podcast apps, and to YouTube once I've got the video portion sorted out, which can take a few days sometimes. If we aren't on your podcast platform of choice, let us know and I can get us added to that platform. Pretty much everything we do is under the handle Hexagorgon, apart from our Twitch channel, which is Hexagorgon Live. Speaking of which, we currently stream on Twitch every week on Mondays and Thursdays starting at 8 p.m. GMT, and we do the occasional bonus stream too. On Mondays, we do Mystery Monday, where we're currently alternating between Life is Strange True Colors and the classic point-and-click Beneath a Steel Sky. On Thursdays, we play Magic the Gathering, hosted by Jamie, where we switch between Elves All the Way Down and the Draft of the Week. Okay, interval's over. Let's get back to the show. Anyway, skills that we don't have. Kind of similar to Top Gun in a way. I was thinking about Austin Powers. He's a spy. He's not the greatest spy in the world. Canonically, he is the greatest spy in the world.
Yeah.
However, as a spectator, he's not that good.
From the audience's perspective, not a great spy.
Precisely.
This works with Constitution being our dump stat because Austin Powers has no discernible skills, but did put everything into charisma.
Hey, the dream build right there. I think I could be as good, if not a better spy than Austin Powers.
I agree.
I don't mean to toot my own horn here, but I am vaguely intelligent.
Yeah, yeah.
I have some skills.
Wow.
But you're not as ridiculously sexy.
You say that.
Yeah, you say that.
To any character in the film, you're correct.
But to us as well, because Austin Powers, Mike Myers, Shrek.
Ah, 2 degrees of separation.
I knew this was going to come round to Shrek sooner or later.
Sooner or later, all things return to Shrek.
I would not replace Shrek in a film. That's perfect film.
No.
Okay, but more seriously, if Austin Powers was a competent spy, does that defeat the premise?
I don't think so. I think that's a lot of the comedy that is derived outside of him being bad at being a spy.
What if you put James Bond in there? That's the test, right? Can you still make a good film if you put James Bond as the main character? And the answer is no.
Are you saying any film with James Bond as the main character is a bad film?
You heard it here first.
Yeah, so I think if you put James Bond into Austin Powers, that would just be a bad film.
Yeah.
I think if you put me into Austin Powers, it would be a lot more...
sexy.
Not necessarily what I was going for. The jokes would be a bit more straight back, maybe.
Is that a sex thing?
No, it's not meant to be.
Guys, I have a confession to make.
Go on then.
James Bond is the one film I haven't seen.
Well, in James Bond...
No, I've seen some James Bond. I've got an idea that I'd like Hollywood to try. It's not really what we're talking about, but I think a lot more movies should have someone in the film just improvising. Like, they're not a trained actor. They're just a normal person who's been told, go into this movie and play along. You don't know the plot. You don't know the script. Just do your best to play along and fit into the movie.
That does sound like the direction that Mike Myers was given.
Anyone else got any movies they want to star in?
Yes, I would like to be Anakin Skywalker in the Star Wars prequels, please.
You monster!
I know, but hear me out.
We said main character. You're supposed to be Jar Jar Binks, right?
I would like to be Anakin Skywalker. I would like to have agency here.
Okay, we can have some flexibility.
Okay, so the premise of this is Anakin Skywalker actually solves the problems facing the galaxy.
Okay.
So, easy one for starters. He grew up on a planet with slavery. Maybe you want to convince the Republic that slavery is a bad thing and they should stop it.
That would improve the film.
Just to check, are you starting this movie as a child or is it adult you in every scene of Anakin Skywalker? Regardless of his aging and how much time has passed, it's just always you.
With your baby face.
Yes, yeah, I'm just going to be in baby boy maker. Anakin Skywalker getting some relationship counselling.
Oh boy.
I don't think we need to debate that.
In fact, everyone in that universe.
Yes.
Jedi don't need cancelling.
They might need cancelling.
They definitely do.
The Jedi are a council.
I would simply not be manipulated by a Dark Lord of the Sith.
Yep.
Maybe, like, for 1 second, question what bringing balance to the Force might actually mean in the concept of currently there's a lot of people in the light side and not many people in the dark side.
That is pretty much what Anakin does, though. He ends up with two on each side, which is bringing balance to the Force.
Also, incidentally, as far as he can count.
What Alex is suggesting, I think, is that when they say there needs to be balance, he says, no, wait, we don't want to make sure there's as much evil as good.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Although what the Force is and what the dark side of the Force is, like, the Jedi and the Sith are one way of seeing it in this universe.
However, you have also brought up the fact that the Republic are okay with slavery, so who are the bad guys here?
Yes, there's a lot of problems in the Galactic Senate. As a powerful, influential person, married to a senator, like maybe do a hit piece on Palpatine. You've got some recordings of him just turning off his cameras and then in his Imperial Senate officer, putting his hood on and talking to the Separatists and say, go and be evil, Count Dooku.
I would watch that.
Also, if you resist Palpatine's evil machinations, does that just mean that you can go and tell the council, you can go to Jar Jar Bink and tell him, hey, Boinky, don't give this guy all the power. It turns out he's evil.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, oh, Misa was about to make a bigger mistake. And everything's fine then.
Maybe, like, team up with everyone, investigate the clones thing a bit more. I was just like, oh, yeah, we had a blank check to, like, produce these clones. It's all fine. Yes, our planet has been deleted from the Jedi archives, and that means that no one can navigate to it.
I feel like Obi-Wan didn't do his due diligence there.
He did not follow procedure.
Yeah, maybe we should, like, talk to Jedi IT and be like, hey, how could this have happened?
What I'm hearing from you is that you're going to enter the Jedi Order and then get them ISO 27001.
Yes.
And one of the big problems with your plan of doing this overhaul of the Republic is that they will grant you a seat on the council, but they will not grant you the rank of Jedi Master.
That's true, but you can do a lot with, like, you can talk to Yoda and go, hey, this shit's really fucked up, isn't it?
And he'll be like, scrub you are. Care not, I do.
You can still, like, produce a report for the Jedi Council and push in the right places. And
this is the paperwork documentary you always wanted, Bear.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the paperwork documentary that George Lucas always wanted as well.
Yes, thank you. Remember as well that you can always change Yoda's mind. Just give him a bag full of sausages because he's a little goblin.
You're an idiot.
Oh, I'm picturing Luke with him on his back, just feeding them over the shoulder.
Yoda, they're just munching sausages.
Good food you gave me, yes! There's a lot of problems with the Republic, with the Jedi Order. They probably do need to be, like, dismantled and restructured and reorganized, and maybe that, like, being in those positions of power, being in the Jedi Council is probably not the best way to do that. I think you want to be from the outside.
Yeah, no, it is a good point of, like, if you went in to replace Anakin, then right at the beginning, while he's just a kid, you'd just be there saying, Palpatine's evil.
Yeah.
Let's get things moving against him before he can execute his plans.
Yeah.
This kid's an idiot, but, like, he's got so many midichlorians.
Can't be wrong.
Yeah.
He's got all these midichlorians, and he seems to know what's happening in other places in the galaxy right now and what's gonna happen.
He knows the name Palpatine, so something's up here.
Well, his first name's Sheev, which is very suspicious.
Sheev Palpatine is a very silly full name.
Yeah.
I do like the concept of just putting yourself into a movie where you have knowledge that it takes the characters a long time to get and you just solve the movie really early on.
That's like Raids of the Lost Ark. You just go, yeah, let the Nazis have it, whatever.
Yeah.
Or like Swordfish, and you go in, the password is Swordfish. So like, how'd you get that?
How did he know?
Murder on the Orient Express is just a really bad holiday.
Any murder mystery.
They did it. Done. See ya.
It's like, wait, can you prove it? It's like, oh yeah, this is the clue you're missing.
Yeah, yeah, here's the murder weapon, here's where this happened, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing is, by the time you get to the end of a murder mystery, like, if it's Agatha Christie, then Poirot is effectively doing that. He just gets everyone in a room and is like, here's what I know, I'm not going to explain how I know it. And there's just weird social manipulation along the way that I often find it difficult to follow, so it would be much easier just to walk in there, do a Sherlock and go, it was this person in the drawing room with the lead pipe, you're welcome.
I wanted to do a slightly different spin on the Star Wars prequels, in that instead of trying to fix the problems with the Republic, you just be super enthusiastic about joining the dark side the whole time, rather than the back and forth that Anakin has, being like, am I good? Am I evil? Is Palpatine right? Maybe the Jedi are wrong. And then you're just like, no, Palps, Sheev, I'm here for it, mate. I'm all about my life. Show me how to do that lightning. Let's go. You're not solving the world at all, but I think it would be a very different film and maybe a more fun film if the evil people just committed to the evilness.
Yeah, if they just had fun in their villainy.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Sheev definitely has fun in his villainy.
I think he does. I think Anakin doesn't.
Anakin is a big wife guy.
Yeah, but if you look later as well, like Kyle Loren, the famous fashion designer.
Yeah, the long flowing locks of Kyle Loren. Yeah.
Ooh la la.
The whole thing with him is having a big angsty discovery thing. And if you could just skip that and have him being like, nyah-ha-ha.
You're right.
I thought his whole thing was having a big angsty chest.
And trousers just a little too high.
It was so bizarre to see the first time because it was just otherworldly.
I know, right? It's like, what's wrong with his proportions right now? I don't know what's going on.
Is he okay? Is this a reveal? Is there something wrong?
Like, I'm pretty sure Adam Driver is like a cool dude, but what is going on here?
Well, you can find out in the film Baby Driver.
You're right. They got child star Adam Driver as a baby.
Cool, so now that we've ruined Star Wars.
I think George Lucas ruined Star Wars.
I've got another beloved property that I would like to wreck.
Ooh.
So you know The Hobbit?
I'm familiar.
You might be thinking, those movies are already terrible. There's no way that you can make them worse by being in them. And that's exactly the argument that I'm making here.
Just by, you can't make them worse. Therefore, they must be better.
You asked for me to make something better, and therefore, if I can't make it worse, I'm at least in contention.
I think I genuinely am in contention for this. I've got a lot in common with Bilbo, okay? He's just small and cowardly and answers basic riddles and likes shiny things.
Big hairy feet. Wait, hang on.
Big hairy feet. Waistcoats.
If I remember the canonical version of The Hobbit, which is, of course, the song The Ballad of Bilbo Baggins by Leonard Nimoy. Bilbo, Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, only 3 feet tall.
Accurate.
And looking at you through this webcam, because obviously we've never met in real life, you're slightly larger than 3 feet tall.
I'm flattered that you think that.
I mean, you can't prove that. That's just the angle of the webcam.
This is an audio medium, and honestly...
No, it's fine. In canon, AJ is 3 feet tall and has big hairy feet. Those are the two facts you need to know.
Yeah, you can put that on the fan wiki right now.
I like that if we're dropping you into a movie, the movie still has to be made, you're going to be part of it, and they've got the setup to make people look smaller than they are.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it for you.
They don't need to.
Oh, I was looking forward to that bit.
They might have to give you the Tom Cruise treatment and put you on boxes.
I just think I'd be a lot more excited for the whole shenanigans than Bilbo, and maybe that would bring some energy back to the films. Like, I'm not bothered about giant spiders, I can deal with spooky woods, I love going and spending way too long hanging out with the elves, learning about their backstory, having side plots.
Plus the Goblin King, he seemed like he was up for a good time. If they hadn't brought literal goblin slaying weapons in front of him,
that may have been a bad move.
Then maybe he would have been more amenable to peaceful talks or going to the disco.
Yeah, I could have a party with Stephen Fry and a bunch of dwarves. And it would improve the film as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Betting that Cucumber Patch is also probably someone that you can get along well with, but when he's a dragon, possibly not as well.
I have much warmer feelings about dragons than Bilbo, I have to say.
We don't need to explore that. That would be...
Oh no.
Bad.
I was trying to avoid that. This is why Bear isn't allowed to watch that film.
Yeah.
Because if I watch that film, then canonically, I will become part of it and romance Smaug.
That's what the Desolation of Smaug really means.
Oh. What a an eldritch horror it would be to have someone in the world who, if they watch a movie, they become and have always been part of the movie and just mess it up in some grotesque way.
That's how they made The Room, right?
I was thinking that.
Oh, hi, Smaug.
I would like to hear more facts about The Hobbit and how you would improve it, or at least not make it worse.
Well, I'd go in with a rudimentary knowledge of the tongues of elves, men, and dwarves, and cut out a whole bunch of runtime so we could probably get it done in one film.
That's good. Well-paced.
Okay, here's where I admit a thing. I've only seen the first one of those. I got 10 minutes into the second one and cringed so hard my face nearly fell off.
To be fair, you've seen all the best bits at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the feeling.
Yeah, like the first bit of the book.
The book is fun.
I find the book a little weak because it was written as a kid's book.
Yeah.
But also it's because he had not done the world building yet.
Sure.
I was thinking about talking about The Lord of the Rings, but as we all agree, Frodo is much too overpowered and I definitely couldn't improve on his performance in any way.
Yes, yeah. As we all agree.
If you were in Lord of the Rings replacing Frodo, then you'd get the ring and then just turn into, like, evil Galadriel.
I absolutely would.
I think that would be a better film.
Again, it would cut the runtime.
I don't want to see Elijah Wood pretend to be weak for, like, 9 hours straight.
Yeah, I want to see Elijah Wood cosplaying as Cate Blanchett as Galadriel.
So what else happens in The Hobbit? They have some fun.
They have some fun.
It's mostly just a lot of fun.
You have to ride in a barrel.
Yeah.
You would make the film better from the point of view that you would actually be in peril, whereas at no point in any of the films do I feel like any of the characters are actually in peril.
Some of them die.
Not any of the core 12, however many of them is. None of them die, I don't think.
I remember feeling really afraid for them when they did dumb shit, like jumping in a river that was obviously cursed.
I mean, like, the barrel scene is meant to be quite, like, treacherous and a real gamble that they're taking, and then they just sort of jump in the barrels, bounce around a bunch of rocks and rivers. It's so cartoony, it's like, no one's in danger here.
It's also an action scene that they randomly put into a book, which is... It's just not an action scene film.
No, it's not. I mean, it's a book which goes from set piece to set piece and very much is a... They reach a roadblock, they get past it, they go to the next roadblock, they get past it.
Yeah.
Okay, so a bunch of rowdy dwarves show up to your house telling you they've got an adventure for you and start throwing your kitchenware around. You might be up for it. Up until the kitchenware incident, and then you're like, I'm not traveling with these guys.
I knew you were going to pick up on that.
I was like, I'll go on an adventure, but anyone who treats my teacups that way is not a part of my group.
They're very chaotic, and yet I welcome you guys into my life, so...
Yeah, you would do it in reverse, whereas Gandalf's like, I've got an adventure for you, and Bilbo's like, nah, not for me. Then the dwarves turn up, and he's like, actually, I could go for an adventure. You'd be the opposite, right? Yeah. Gandalf's like, I've got an adventure for you, and you'd be like, I'm so up for an adventure, I gotta get out of the house. Then the dwarves turn up and you're like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I can't do this.
Yeah, Bilbo's like, I'm too polite to say no to this adventure. And AJ's like, I'm up for this adventure, but you've been impolite, so I can't say yes to this adventure.
You know me too well. One thing that I particularly love about Bilbo's arc is that the end game is going to an elvish retirement village where canonically what you do is sit around chatting with ancient beings and writing elvish poetry, and I love that.
Yeah, I think we need to restructure elder care in this universe so that there's more elvish retirement villages.
Except only one person gets to go and live in the elvish retirement village.
Dibs.
Damn it, he's got dibs.
God. That is the sacred ancient elvish rite.
Well, he called that the dibs.
Dibs was spake upon the air.
Yeah. Oh dear. I like the reason you've even brought up The Hobbit at all is just that there's lots of bits in it that you'd like to do. You're not thinking about changing the film. You're just like, yeah, I'd like to do this bit of the film.
The thing I love about The Hobbit films was that if I were in them, anything that I fancied doing would be automatically better than what actually happens on screen and therefore more enjoyable.
Okay, I see your point.
I think you'd be quite good at policing the film as well. So, like, you know, Thorin comes out and you're just like, no, go and take your makeup off. You're a dwarf, not a sexy human. Get your beard.
You're not going out like that.
Radagast comes out in his wild animal sled and you're like, no, nope. Stop being ridiculous. You are one of the most wise ancient spirits in this realm. Behave like it.
I would absolutely give him a talking to.
You mentioned a bunch of home invaders, and that actually brings me on nicely to a film that I think I could do quite well in, which is Home Alone, replacing Macaulay Culkin as Kevin McAllister. with Eddie as Eddie. But yeah, two fully grown men try and break into a house. They're not very good at it. And the first thing that Kevin does is set up a bunch of traps with toys. Call the dang police, dude! And if that doesn't work, I reckon I could take a couple of incompetent thieves in a fight.
Here's the other thing. They know that you're supposed to go away on holiday. You're still home. They're just like, oh damn, an adult man is still home. We better not do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is true. I would just not miss the holiday in the first place.
Yeah, just go on the holiday.
Yeah, no, if you're in Home Alone, you just get on the holiday and you get robbed and that's it.
I drive myself to the airport because my family left me behind for some reason.
And you're a grown-ass man.
Or you pick up your phone and you call them and say, hey, did you forget someone?
Let's assume that I didn't want to go on the holiday or something, so I choose to stay home and these thieves assume that everyone in the family has gone and turn up anyway and start getting bipped by various traps and things. Now, I mean, at that point, they should probably stop robbing the house anyway, but they don't. And so, I'm assuming that they continue trying to rob the house despite me, a 27-year-old man, being there.
Yeah.
Remember, though, that these are practically indestructible people.
They are.
They're accident-prone, but they also take approximately zero damage.
True, but I'm not there to kill them.
Wait, what? Judging by the traps you set up, it seemed like you were.
Judging by the traps Kevin set up, please. I would set up far less lethal traps.
I think you have an advantage on Kevin.
Yeah.
Because if Kevin called the police and said, oh, someone's invading my house and my parents aren't here because they went on holiday.
Yeah.
The police would say, fantastic, we are putting a safeguarding concern in for you right now. And your parents are no longer going to be your parents.
I mean, I will admit that Kevin sets up some very impressive traps.
Yeah, he's a good trap maker.
Mm. He's a good trap maker, despite not being a very intelligent kid.
He's very intelligent, he just doesn't have common sense.
Okay, maybe that's where I fall down, because I do have common sense.
Wisdom is his dump stat.
That's all right, because constitution is our dump stats here. And with the right amount of traps, I don't need constitution to survive these dudes.
With the amount of physical comedy involved, though.
I mean, I did enjoy a bit of physical comedy in my time. One of my main goofs, like, as a teen in, like, amateur dramatic society was just falling over very convincingly.
That is funny.
I absolutely love a character in, like, a comedy film where anytime they're supposed to make a joke, they just collapse instead. Like, you go up to, you see them on stand-up, and they just look out at the crowd, take a deep breath, and they just fall over and then walk off stage.
So an Englishman, an Irishman, and a Scotsman walk into a bar.
Whoops!
Yeah, I'd see that stand up.
Yeah, it works for me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but like worst case scenario, these people are trying to invade my home. I'm 17 years older than Kevin in the film. I could tussle.
Yeah.
I think I would probably lose 2-on-1, but like I've got the home ground advantage.
Yeah.
I think I can hold my own.
I don't know. Like Home Invaders?
I think it'd be a very different film.
Yeah.
I think we would have to make it a little less comedy and a little more action.
Murdery.
I don't know. If your whole thing is like you're going to fight them and then you keep slipping over, I think it stays very firmly in the comedy realm.
You're right. I've just invented a Jackie Chan film, right?
I was going to say you're a bit like Robbie Rotten. Oh, that slip and slide on this banana peel.
That works too, dude.
You do the slow motion like anime thing where he's like, I'm going to punch you, starts to punch. You're like, I've got to dodge this punch. Then shift my weight and counterattack, and instead you just fall over.
I think it would be a very different film. I don't know if it's necessarily an improvement on Home Alone, but I think it is a different film and it is still a fun time.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think I'd enjoy it more if people fell over more.
And punched each other more?
I don't know. One of the things that's always stuck out to me about that film is how weirdly determined they are to rob this one house. Like,
yeah.
It's trapped as hell. Just go somewhere else.
It's because they made a plan, because they find out that they're going to be away from home.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if they had a plan, that's fine.
It is the one film I haven't watched recently, so I don't remember if they got a key or something.
Part of it, I think, is that they know that there's something valuable in the house. Like, they know that there is a reason to rob that house in particular.
I think there's something supernatural going on between the zero damage being done to these two guys the whole time and the fact that they're determinedly robbing this one house with a kid in it. There's something in the basement.
I think they enter through the basement at some point, don't they?
There you go.
Yeah, the family has stolen an ancient object and these guys are actually revenants coming to retrieve it.
I'm currently, like, reading the synopsis of Home Alone and it's just weirder than I thought it was. Like, his mum doesn't realise that he's not on holiday with them until they are mid-flight.
How many kids do they have?
That's quite a long way into the process. I know they've got a lot of kids, but that's a long time.
If you're a kid, you've got, like, siblings, and you're like, oh, we're all going on holiday, kids. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're in the car. And you're like, oh, where's Kevin? Do they really hate Kevin that much?
I think they hate Kevin that much.
I don't have siblings, but I understand that that is a common feeling, yes.
I think the siblings are just like, oh, nice, we get to leave Kevin behind. It depends on their age as well.
Genuinely, as a kid, I used to try and stow away in my cousin's car because I'd be really sad that they'd be leaving after a holiday.
Apparently, they oversleep. There's a power outage, their alarm clocks all fail, and everyone oversleeps. And in the panic, they don't realize that Kevin hasn't woken up.
I don't buy it.
No one checks on him, clearly.
And then there's sequels, and surely if this has happened once...
Yeah, apparently Kevin leaves the house several times as well, so like...
So the house isn't magically protected?
The wet bandits just, like, see him leave and go like, oh, I guess there's a kid home now.
Do they ever turn to each other and say, oh, he's home alone?
Almost certainly. It is a film of that era.
You've got to have a title drop in a film.
That happens in the second film as well, where they see that he's in New York and they're like, oh, do you reckon they own that flat? Maybe he's home alone too.
Hey. And on that bombshell.
I genuinely didn't realise that was going to be a joke.
Anyway, the Eddie version of Home Alone is much more physical comedy, a bit of fight scenes in there, and just three men having a tussle.
Wait, more physical comedy than a physical comedy movie?
No, he means like physical comedy.
Oh, are you going to romance them?
No, I mean physical comedy.
Subtle difference.
Oh no, gents, I've become tied to the bed. What shall I do?
See?
Or you just do a trap that just restrains them and you just sit down in front of them, have a really deep conversation, Poirot style, where you get them to reveal things and then you convince them it's not worth it and then you romance them.
So this is again an enemies to lovers fic to bring the whole episode.
And then you all go and work in a coffee shop together.
Yes.
Combining of ideas. I think I'd rather stick with the original physical comedy fight movie, but you know, maybe there's some romance in there.
Are you relying on this being a movie to fight them, or are you just fighting those actors?
Let me just yes and this. Both.
So they think that it's a film, but you're actually fighting them for real.
You keep saying cut whenever they're about to hit you. Let's do it from another angle. And then finally you just smack them in the face and knock them out.
Look, I'm not trained in stage fighting. So I actually am just going to fight them. And they're going to be stage fighting.
That's what actors are for. It's their job.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, this guy's stage fighting is so realistic. He keeps actually punching us in the face.
I'm actually hurt, but I have to act like I take no damage.
It's method acting.
Any other final movie suggestions?
Yeah, I think I would like to chuck in one more. I think I'd like to talk about Back to the Future. All right, careful. We can only use a couple of seconds of that. I think it would be great to be in a time travel film. I'm not sure the exact way that, like, Marty gets involved in the hijinks that he gets involved with, but I feel like not messing with time in that way is relatively easy if you are aware of time travel before you go back in time.
That is what everyone says while they haven't yet time traveled.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm me, and therefore I think that.
You also have to fix your time traveling car.
It's all right, I'm friends with the dude who made it.
Without falling in love with your mum.
Also, you have to go back in time or else your friend is dead.
Well, we have to go forwards in time so that our friends are dead, so this sounds like an improvement.
Is that the goal? The objective of life is to outlive your friends.
Shit, he's onto me.
Oh no, I thought that was just a side quest. So what I'm not sure about with Back to the Future is, when would I go back to? Would I go back 30 years from now, or would I go back to 1955? Or would I go back to whatever the time appropriate is for my parents to have been first meeting?
Or is it still set in 1985 and it's just you playing a high schooler as like a 27-year-old man?
Yeah, that's fair.
Hollywood's done Stranger Things.
Yes, it has.
How old was Michael J. Fox when he played that role? He was born in 61. So he would have been...
He was like 24.
24, okay, so I'm not far off.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm only a couple years older than that.
Is he meant to be a high schooler?
Yes.
I think he was like 16 or something, or...
How are you at skateboarding?
Garbage.
Perfect.
The intro scene where you're grabbing onto the back of a car on a skateboard is just the end of the movie for you.
I feel like I would grab onto the back of the car, not get my footing right, slip out from under me, and just face down onto the tarmac. Reading a bit more about the plot of Back to the Future, I do realise that the thing that I thought I could do better than Marty is actually not that realistic, because a lot of the ways that stuff happens is actually quite reasonably thought through and reasonably possible. The one thing that I could do differently is not have compassion and therefore not try and help my dad when he falls out of a tree. But assuming that I see someone fall out of a tree and would go, oh shit, are you alright? I'm going to get hit by that car and still have the same problems that Marty does.
Well, here's the other thing you could do that Marty struggles with.
Oh, yeah?
If someone calls you a chicken, are you compelled to fight them?
No, I am compelled to cluck.
Yeah, you're just like, what are you, chicken? Bop, 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 bop. And your response is just, are you saying, nice cock?
Hey.
It's a different time. They don't understand.
It's true. Dicks weren't invented in 1993.
Yeah, all of these people who aren't ready for the Joe Mama jokes.
I know, right?
Don't touch me, you'll get Ligma. None of them are prepared for it.
Oh, no, I don't want to get Ligma.
Yeah, I've got future technology, says Eddie.
Joe Mama.
Yeah, you definitely win the dick joke arms race of 1956.
I mean, it's also funny to be like, they're there making some like kind of homophobic jokes and I'm just there like, yeah, I'm what? I don't care. I'm like, this is fine. There's no problem with that at the moment. I don't understand.
Yeah, they're just like, what are you, gay? And it's like, suck my dick and find out.
Also, what a great way to make sure that you don't accidentally become your own father.
What if we did send, like, one of today's meme-addled teenagers back in time to 35 years ago and just have them try and communicate?
They wouldn't have their phones, huh?
Oh,
tragic.
These damn kids and their phones. They don't know what to do without their phones.
What if I did Back to the Future 2 instead? They've got two options here. Either I'm going back to 2015 at this point, which wouldn't really be much of a film,
right.
Or I'm going ahead 30 years and then I would do the Biff thing of just bring back something that can make me a lot of money. It'd probably be like, here are the correct investments to make rather than here's a sports almanac.
Yeah, you don't need a sports almanac. Sports are for nerds.
Yes, Back to the Future would have been a lot better if they'd all just been stock bros.
We've got to go to the future, Morty. Marty, and see which of these investments pans out so I can be rich. I invented time travel and I'm going to invest one thing in it and then destroy all of the information.
All right, ignoring the money side of it though, right, for a second. Jumping forward 30 years, I think that would be more interesting than trying to guess, because we've seen 2015 now. Wasn't that interesting, it turns out. Back to the Future had a much better idea what 2015 was like. But 2052, now that's a year that I'd like to see.
Mm. My wardrobe will be so in.
I would also like to see 2052, so please, please do not destroy the environment.
I'm just updating Back to the Future at this point.
The car doesn't teleport you, it just brings you through time. So yeah. You come out, there is no one on Earth. Everyone's on Mars, and it's just like a hellscape. It's all on fire, it's just like, whoops.
But it's fine, I've got a time-traveling car. I'll just go back like 10 years at a time until I find the sweet spot of the cool tech. I just want to see the most interesting point of the future where all the tech is cool and everyone's got really cool stuff and, like, virtual reality games are actually good.
What if I told you that the zenith of technology was now?
I mean, that's possible, I guess.
I'd still go back to the 90s and wear hammer pants.
I'm trying to think of what I would do with a time-traveling car. Let's see what happens if we actually do create a paradox. Oh, I did the universe. Cool. Oops.
Well, no, it's Back to the Future logic, so you just fade from existence, right?
Oh, yeah, good point.
The good thing about the Back to the Future universe is that little details don't change very much.
Yeah, I mean, you can affect the future as well. So, like, I could go back in time and try and influence my future or my parents' future in a way that we are much richer. Exactly like Marty did. It turns out, I think Marty just absolutely nailed it. I think I've messed up here.
It's the perfect film, can't improve on it. Bear, you should really watch it someday.
I think actually the plot's really solid, it turns out.
I would be interested in watching a version of the movie, not replacing the original, but just where it doesn't work out. You're just like, I think I'm going to do so much better than Marty. I'm not going to mess up the past. I'm not going to mess up the future. And it's just you going through a miserable time and eventually fading from existence. You look directly at the camera and you just say, guess I was wrong, and then fade out.
Masterpiece, Oscar winning.
I think every movie should end with a character breaking the fourth wall.
Going, guess I was wrong.
And then a circle wipe on their face.
A basic circle wipe. We've got the CG to be able to have people like fade out or dust away or whatever you want. Circle wipe.
Circle wipes are easy.
All right, I'm just about ready to sit down with a big bucket of popcorn and gorge myself while watching these movies. So, you guys have put together a trilogy, right? Could you just give me the synopsis of each of your movies in that trilogy, please? AJ?
We're going to start the trilogy with a trilogy. It's The Hobbit, starring me with my big nerdy feet.
Nice. Alex?
We're going to follow that up with the Star Wars prequel trilogy, which stars me as Anakin, the actually cleaning up the Galactic Republic Skywalker.
And Eddie.
And we're going to finish the trilogy, pulling it right back down to scale, set in just one house. It's the physical comedy movie that is me fighting two home invaders.
Home Alone with Eddie.
Home Alone invaders.
A guy tried to come into my house and I punched him.
I was wrong.
Okay, I think I'm ready to sit down with the first part of your trilogy. AJ, let's get watching The Not Hobbit.
Yeah.
Don't call it The Nobbit.
And speaking of trilogies, your prize is, of course, the greatest trilogy of them all, a 3-DVD set of Cars 2.
Damn, I knew I should have picked the time travel movie. Guess I was wrong. Thanks for listening. If you want to keep up to date with everything we do, your best bet is to follow us on social media. We're at Hexagorgon on Twitter, and we're Hexagorgon FB, no spaces, on Facebook. And if you'd like to support us financially, you could either donate to our Ko-Fi, which is Hexagorgon, or subscribe to us on Twitch if that's more your speed, which is Hexagorgon Live. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Well, you'll see us. Well, not see, exactly. Ah, you get the idea.
Yeah, I'll do a bit in character, and then we can cut it if it's not worth it. I'll get you guys
Sorry,
to just summarize
I don't
it.
Understand.
Hey, Google, shut the fuck up.